The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Dolan Show with Sam Platts, Diana Hong, and Kareem Daniels there. And now, a man who does things because he can. Here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Friday episode of the Nate Dolan Show. Ha. Hope everybody is doing good. We're doing well.
Doing fantastic.
Depending on your grammatical choices. Just want to remind everybody again, this show and the shows next week will be shorter, but they will be new. And next week, I'll be in Vermont. Hopefully finding some heady topper beer.
Hopefully not being killed by the escaped convicts.
Yeah.
I have no belief at all that they are in Vermont. At all.
Me either.
I don't think they're in Vermont. They have no idea where they are. Will they be caught by the time I get to Vermont? Who knows? But I'm not going to worry about it. I have been to Dannemora where they escaped from.
Like, you did time? Or
no. That's actually the prison where Tupac did time. Madonna visited him.
Yeah.
My first father-in-law was a corrections officer there. Up in the tower.
Oh, that's right. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Brought his TV and it was such a
TV, radio, pillow, rifle, and lunchbox was what he had to carry to the top of the guard tower there, which wouldn't have made a difference on this because they went out underneath. He was right. No one's going over the wall there, and he may be retired at this point. I don't know. But yeah, Dannemora Prison or the Clinton Correctional Facility, whichever you like to refer to it as, where they've escaped from. It's right on the main drag in the middle of the tiny town of Dannemora. In fact, I had friends who used to live across the street from the prison. And it's got 30-foot high walls. It's like, no one's going over the top. So no one was ever worried about it because no one had ever escaped in well over 100 years. Well, now two of them did. And they're both murderers. So
they had been doing it for a while.
They've been working on it. So we'll see how that all plays out. Coming up on the show today, this is a one-topic show, but it's a this topic has so many angles and tentacles going here and there. It's the now former president of the Spokane NAACP, because she resigned on Monday. Rachel Dolezal. So she was the president of the Spokane, Washington NAACP. It's a chapter that the Spokesman Review credited her with revitalizing. She is an adjunct faculty member at Eastern Washington University. And she has, if you'd like to hear, Kareem, she has a lecture on the cultural significance of black women's hair.
Here, I'd like to read a poem just to give you a taste of the book, Hair Raising. This poem is written by Willie Coleman, and it kind of sums up this presentation. You can learn a whole lot of stuff sitting in them beauty shop chairs. Used to be, you could meet a whole lot of other women sitting there along with hair frying, spit flying, and babies crying. Used to be, you could learn a whole lot about how to catch up with yourself and some other folks.
Or you could just watch Good Hair, the Chris Rock documentary.
Well, at least she didn't put on a black voice.
Well, she would have to fake it for how many years now?
Yeah.
So she...
I'm so over this bitch.
Oh, why?
Hold on. I'm not necessarily over her. I'm over the whole thing.
That's what I mean. Like, she resigned. It is whatever. Are we all really surprised?
So this is how it all started.
I don't agree with
She's
it.
Been living as an African American woman.
Duh.
For several years now. And all of a sudden, her parents in Idaho came out and said, hey, that's our daughter and she's white. I don't know why, but they did.
You gotta ask the question, how fucked up are your parents if it make you want to be a whole different race?
Here's the thing, though. Fucking long.
Here's the thing, Kareem. They have adopted children who are African American.
I know.
So what's to say? And listen, this question has been ridiculed by people who just want to be like, nope, 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 nope. But I'm going to bring it up anyway. What is the difference between this woman saying inside, I feel like I am, in fact, an African-American woman, and someone who is transgendered saying, listen, inside, I was born a boy, but deep down inside, I know I'm a woman.
Oh, my God. Okay.
That's how I feel.
Do you want to go? Yeah. Or do you want me to go first, Kareem? Let's, which one do you want? Okay, here's the thing. I know this argument, and it pisses me off.
It's not an argument. No. It's a question.
Well, it's a question.
And you're getting all upset.
I know. This is another thing I should put on my list of with Chipotle, Justin Bieber, Taylor Swift, and Orange is the New Black, but I get passionate about. And it's not because a lot of people aren't posing it as questions necessarily as a like kind of a defense of it, but also to put down transgender people and the fact that Caitlyn Jenner thing happened coming out. And the timing of this is ridiculous because when Caitlyn Jenner came out, a lot of people brought up the whole, well, transracial is a thing. It's not a fucking thing.
Hold on. Kareem, is it a thing? Transracial.
It's a thing.
It's not a thing.
A thing.
It's not a thing. By a definition, thing. It's not a thing. Because
Years ago, transgender was not a thing.
Right.
By definition.
But this is why I don't believe this is a thing. Because race in general is socially constructed. It's not a thing that matters. Sex is a biological thing.
Wait. Hold it. Time up. Back up.
Yeah.
What'd you just say?
Race is socially constructed.
What did you say after that?
Sex is a biological thing.
No. You said something in between the two.
What did I say?
I stopped listening.
I don't.
You said race doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. You did.
Did I?
Yep.
Yeah, you said
that. Let me rephrase that. Race is socially... Okay, let me say that. The whole concept of something being socially constructed is that it only matters because we make it matter, and it's not like necessarily...
One could argue that gender only matters because we make it matter.
No, gender is socially constructed, but sex is not. So gender is the whole like boys wearing blue, girls wearing pink. When you decorate a baby's room, that's gender. Sex is the body parts. Does that make sense now? Okay. Those are the differences.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm not really comfortable with the whole term transgender, because that's the whole outer appearance of it. When someone is going, and that's the proper term for it, I guess, now the PC term. But this is the best way I was able to word it, is that when someone is transgendered or transsexual, and I'm only speaking from observations, not necessarily from personal experience, so this is kind of just what I've seen, is that you are born with like something, you're not biologically, you don't fit in your body. Like you look in the mirror and you're not happy with it.
Okay, so that's a transgender, right?
Okay,
but you're not. Where does the unhappiness come from? It comes from your mind. Going back to Caitlyn Jenner, and she caught flack for saying this, but she said, I didn't, in my brain, I knew and I felt I was a woman. Why can't this person who was exposed to African American culture?
This is what I'm saying, though. This is what the difference is. Okay. When you're born, you can feel that something's not right. Like you look at your body and you're just like, this is not right. I don't feel like I connect to what my outer appearance, like my body, like it's biological. You look at it and you're like, this is not right. And there's the whole like cross-dressing thing where people do it they go in between the whole gender thing, right? They go back and forth, the drag queens and stuff.
Yeah.
But the whole transracial thing is you learn, like babies look at each other and they don't see color. The whole transracial thing is a cultural thing. So when you say, I think our definition of transracial is a little different. I don't think transracial is necessarily a thing like where it's like a biological. I think it's, if it's going to be a thing, it's like it's more cultural appropriation or like wanting a different, to be a part of a different culture, not necessarily you want to change the color of your skin. You just want to be that culture so bad, in the way that it's only socially acceptable for people to participate in social certain cultures is to be that skin color. And that happens with Asians. Like people love Asian culture, and some people no one can actually turn their skin like yellow or whatever. But there's some white people that change their makeup and they look more Asian because they love Asian culture. if you want to say that's transracial, okay. But if we're talking about like biological changes, that's like a whole, that's society's way of trying to fit into society's mold. Like you can participate in a culture, you can defend a culture, you can support equal rights for different cultures or ethnicities and nationalities and races, because race does, we make it matter, so it matters. I'll say that race matters, but it's not a biological thing.
But it is a biological thing.
It's not a biological thing.
It absolutely is. It's absolutely a biological thing.
I mean, with skin color, yeah, but it's not like the way we categorize race, that's what makes race matter. Otherwise, race wouldn't matter. Does that make sense?
No. I know what you're saying. I know the party line you're walking, but it doesn't make sense because it's not true.
I don't necessarily think that the two are comparable, but I understand the argument.
No, I understand the argument too. That's why it makes me upset, because they are using it to be like, well, but then we should defend. But and I don't agree with defending people that want to be transracial, because you can't really, unless if you're doing it at, because the thing that bothered me with her was the fact that she was like, well, I felt black on the inside. You never got that whole experience of being black as a child, and she's coming off as saying
how is that any different than someone who is transgendered who's saying, I like Caitlyn, I always felt like I was a girl on the inside, and the only experience that a young Bruce Jenner got was he dressed up in women's clothing and he went out and he had that feeling. He didn't have any more experience than she had in terms of him being the other gender and her being African American. I know we're trying to create this whole thing, but it's honest to God, it's one person who, and I don't know her motivation, but all she's done as an adult is work to further the cause of equal rights, to look for and fight against oppression, and to work for African-American rights. That's all she's done,
okay,
as an adult.
Okay, but here's the thing. Okay, so if Bruce Jenner walked around in women's clothing, and he did that, I know, and like he said he's done that late, like when it's more of an adult, like he didn't do it as a kid.
He did do it as a kid.
But he didn't like go out and about, like he just did at home.
No, he went out dressed
like as a 6-year-old?
Yes, not as a 6-year-old, but as like a 10-year-old. He said that in the interview. He did that as an, and then he did it
I
later on
when
he was traveling.
I thought he stayed at home and did that.
I'm going to read this real quick.
He went out. Is it related?
Kind of.
Okay.
Because, okay, this is what I'm trying to say, though. Like, if you're going out, if you're transgendered and you, like, let's say you can't afford the surgery, right? Or, like, or something. Like
You're talking too fast. Slow down.
Okay. You're prone. The violence against transgendered people is extremely high.
Yes, and it's not okay.
It's not okay. She's...
We've talked about black people being shot for the last 6 months.
Yeah, okay, but then she's coming across being like, oh, I've experienced discrimination, I've experienced this as a black person, when she never did as a child. And she's
but
claiming
she
that
has
she
a,
has.
Well, she might have did it as an adult.
Yeah. She's been living
and depending on where she lives at, she probably experienced it from her folks having black kids in the family.
Yeah, they adopted African-American kids.
You can,
I think they called those nigger lovers. And they have the same.
You can fight for
wait,
rights.
Wait. And they have the same opinion of them as they do of niggers. The people that say that.
Mm-hmm.
Just something for you to, just for your edification.
And look.
I mean, I'm not. And I feel like every time I try to like talk to you guys about certain topics, it's you guys get very condescending.
I'm not being condescending.
Kind of, because you act like I don't know this shit, and I do know this shit. I might not know as much as someone else in like their personal experience. My wording may not be like completely correct, but like I don't agree with her lying about a lot. She lied about a lot of shit. Yeah, ultimately her goal and her purpose and what she was trying to do, it was good, and that's awesome, but you don't have to lie about your experiences, and basically you're taking someone else's story and making your own just so you get more credibility. That's the whole thing about lying. It's not okay. That's what I don't agree with.
Sure,
she lied about a lot of shit, and that's like she actually tried she had a lawsuit against Howard University. Like, there's just a lot of lying that she did that I'm not okay with.
Black women wearing blonde extensions, weaves, and color contacts are mad at Rachel Dolezal for not being true to herself. Hilarious. That comes from comic Vince Morris.
I mean, if they, I just don't agree with the whole, I get where the arguments are coming from. That's why I'm just saying, like, the whole transgender and transracial thing, I don't.
But for me, this is not even the thing to be upset about. It doesn't even bother me.
It only bothered me because they're saying that, oh, well, in this case, like, then we should accept this because we accepted Caitlyn Jenner. They don't compare the two.
Why not?
I don't think it's not the struggles. First of all, the struggle, in my opinion, is not the same.
No, and it's not the same, but that doesn't mean it's any more or less.
Because to me, what this seemed like was it's more of like an ethnicity thing. Necessarily, like, besides, like, the whole race thing, that's just, you know, ultimately, if we lived in an ideal world, mm-hmm. race would not matter,
right?
Color would not. I hate saying race because, like, it's more color, because race is the whole, like, bubble thing, and there's so many mixed people, it's not really it's getting
what is
different.
The law of the land?
What do you mean?
What is the law of the land as far as race goes?
I'm not understanding. Are we talking about, like, a drop rule or something
that
like
is, that is the
oh
law.
Is that what you're talking
that
about?
That is the law.
Yeah, I mean, but like...
The law is, if you have one drop, you are black.
I mean, yeah, you can count.
Is that still the law?
That's still the law. Oh, okay. It hasn't been removed from the books.
I don't
that's
think
the law.
Like, even
well, I think that,
care to remove it.
So you, well, that just means you can identify. If let's say I have one African-American ancestor in my history, I can claim that I identify as African-American.
Yeah.
That's all that means.
Well, now that's all that means, but back then...
Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah,
back then. When you're talking about when there were lynchings and
that
far worse things...
up till...
I know, the 60s. I'm aware. And here's the thing. I remember as a kid looking at... And this was before the internet. Looking at history books and seeing the first... I saw a photograph of a lynching. And it was so viscerally disturbing to me. That people would do that to another human being. It was just mind-boggling. I couldn't even process it.
And the thing you probably didn't see in that picture that is in a lot of pictures that are of that time are people with their children there.
No, there were just guys standing there smiling like they just bagged a deer.
Right. So this is my, like I said, I'm not... Like this has been like all over my timeline since it started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For about a week now.
For about a week now. So I don't give a fuck. It doesn't. What she did was it wrong? Yeah. But there've been plenty of people passing forever. There've been people passing since we got here. They're Mexican. If you see a Mexican girl with a big ass and she says she's Mexican, no, she's partly black. But her folks have been claiming that they've been Mexican ever since they've been there. There's a famous playwright, not a famous play critic who passed for white for years.
Mm-hmm.
He told his daughter, like on his deathbed, "Oh yeah, we're black. We're from Louisiana."
Well, and
she had to go meet her. The rest of his family who had moved from Louisiana to New York and the ones that they didn't get a chance to talk to because they were too dark. Like if you talked to them, you would know.
Right.
That shit has been happening forever.
And what's happening now that you don't hear about it that much, but I've seen it happen sometimes publicly, but usually it's behind closed doors when it's not necessarily there for white people to see is the, "You're not black enough."
Yeah.
"You're not black enough."
This is dumb as shit I hear all the time.
Okay, so this is...
And who was... Oh, and then in the 70s, once they started doing affirmative action, then there were white guys who were passed for black so they could get jobs.
Well, there was the movie Soul Man.
Yeah.
This is the closest...
So that's the closest thing to this that it is.
Okay, so this is kind of like... I just don't like her as a person.
Okay.
And the thing is this... She, I mean, okay, so she sued Howard, and she's been posing as a black woman. But if she's been doing the work and see he's been doing the work in earnest and not doing it to necessarily for personal gain to the point where she's not crediting black people for what it.
No, okay, okay. Here's the thing. Do you know who Tim Wise is?
Yeah, I know who Tim Wise
is. Okay, did you see? Do you follow him on Facebook?
Yeah.
Do you see his post about like how he like she wouldn't let him speak at Eastern Washington?
I didn't see that.
Okay, so
I have no idea who Tim Wise is.
Anti-racist activist, and he's famous, very prominent figure.
But
this is why.
But this is the thing. She could not do the stuff that Tim Wise does. And we would probably lose the work. Like, okay, she couldn't. What she could. What.
Okay, but
if
can
what
I
she's
just
done.
Tell you this story, though?
Go ahead, tell me the story.
Okay. She objected to him coming to Eastern Washington to speak because, as a white man, he can't speak on race issues involving black people.
Yeah, that part she's out of pocket on.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this to me, it seemed like a lot of it. I know her intentions might have been good, and she had a lot, but
I'll put it to you this way. She acted really black then.
when I read that, that pissed me off.
That was when she forgot that she wasn't really black. I mean, really white. Because that is what she would run into if she was trying to do the stuff that she's done as a white woman.
So there's something.
And at some point, as black people, we have to get past the all white people are the devil bullshit and work with people that'll work.
Yeah, I mean, I think gay people are guilty of that whole thing too with allies. I mean, they go to Pride and a lot of my straight friends are like, dude, I can't even go to gay clubs or gay events because I feel like I'm being attacked. And then you have gay people like, this is our time, blah, blah, blah. There's a time and place for everything. But overall, if your intentions are right and you really just want equality, and that's why I think this is kind of why I don't agree with transracialism, is because to me, if we do that, we're actually taking a step back because we're making race matter more than it should, when we ultimately our goal is to, in my opinion, where race shouldn't be. I'm saying this is not realistic. I'm not saying it's realistic at all in our lifetime, at least. But race shouldn't be a thing. If we make transracialism a thing, it's making race a thing. It's different than culture. That's ethnicity. That's completely different.
I know white people who have pretty much grown up in the hood, and they act like the people that they grew up around.
Yeah, sure. Chet Hayes.
And they don't, they're not putting on an act. They're just being.
Yeah, no, yeah. And there's plenty of people that are
Gary
like
Owen.
Oh, Gary Owen? Yeah. But you've never seen Gary Owen being like, oh, yeah, he has his own different type of discrimination. I know that. Like,
But I'm saying, so for that person to have grown up this way around these people all this time, and that's who they identify with.
These people. Jeez.
Exactly. then that would be, I mean, for them to say that would be them being transracial by them saying, well, fuck, this is who I grew up with.
Okay, so I think that's why I was kind of like thinking that our definition of transracial is different. Because yours is more of like, okay, that's transracial. Because to me, a lot of people attach race with ethnicity. For me, race and ethnicity are completely different. Race is just strictly skin color. That's what race is to me. That's the shit that you fill in on a standardized testing and a census bubble.
Well,
that's
this is the thing. As a black person, you don't get to make that choice.
No, you don't. I mean, okay, but that's by
you don't get to. You don't. As a black person, society does not make that distinction about you unless they know you.
Okay, but this is what I'm trying to say, is that by definition, that's what race is.
Right.
Over time and over communication and all this, and when we're trying to explain points, things get intertwined and they confuse. It's confused the two. But in a discussion when it comes to race and culture and society, it's very important. In my opinion, it's very important to distinguish the two, so eventually things will be better. That's in my hope. We have to be very go into denotation versus connotation. That's what my opinion is.
Okay. This is how Kareem deals with real world shit.
Yeah, and I deal with, like, okay, this is why I'm going with peer definition, then we can discuss from there. But like, so,
well once, because you've had yours, you're gonna say yours. Now I've got a few more people that want to weigh that I found, so we can weigh in through this, and then we'll wrap.
Yeah. So Kareem deals with real world shit. So my answer to everybody about everything is the way that it happens within the world that we exist. I don't have time to do the other dance. Actually, I used to do the other dance, and I got tired of doing it. So now we have the conversation from the real world perspective.
You're too damn old for this shit.
I'm too damn old for this shit. Yeah.
So I've read a lot on this, and I'm going to get through these pretty quickly. There is something called Mike.com, and there's a columnist there named Darnell Moore. As you can guess, Darnell, not a white guy. He writes, "The fiasco is a glaring example of white privilege in action. During a moment when so many are finally speaking out about the unceasing police abuse brutalizing black Americans, most recently seen with the McKinney, Texas pool incident, news of Dolezal's is now taking up much-needed space in the media and public dialogues. The constant recentering of racial conversations on whiteness and the excessive focus on white lives are two of the most prominent features of white privilege. The hashtag transracial is now trending on Twitter, for example, as if notions of racial ambiguity or post-racialism are somehow new entry points into our understanding of the history of race and racism in the United States. These are not new conversations, even if a white woman posing as a black may make it seem as if they are." Here's a tweet from somebody else. "People will defend every single thing white people do wrong. Y'all even make up new terms for them. Hashtag transracial." Darnell continues, "To make matters worse, some are carelessly equating the so-called transracial experience with that of transgender people, ignoring for one thing that however socially constructed markers of racial divisions may be, skin color is hereditary." Here's another tweet from somebody else. "Being transgendered is like Caitlyn Jenner automatically makes you a hero. Being transracial is apparently a hate crime. Why?" So that's the other side. "To be clear, in attempting to pass as black, Dolezal falsely represented her identity. Trans people don't lie about their gender identities. That is not true. Bruce Jenner did it for years. He married three women. They express their gender according to categories that reflect who they are. There is a stark difference between racial indeterminacy or the idea that race is not fixed and individuals may have multiple racial identities and racial misrepresentation. Racial misrepresentation is a cultural theft." Darnell is fired up about this. He feels much stronger about it than you do, Kareem.
This is shit that I was worried about 20 years ago. These were conversations that I had with people who are now professors and bullshit. Mm-hmm. I mean, professors and stuff 20 years ago. I've moved beyond this shit.
Mm-hmm.
As a society, as a country, as a world, race is not a conversation that we have the luxury of having at this point with all of the shit that's really going on with fucking the 1%, the shit that they're doing,
mm-hmm,
to everybody with global warming and, mm-hmm, all this is the shit that we really need to be focused on. Black people are too caught up in their identity as being sometimes victims, and white people are too caught up in their ego and not admitting that we did some fucked up shit. But as long as both sides keeps focusing on bullshit like this,
mm-hmm,
the 1% will keep fucking us all.
Well, this is a podcast. We're doing things. So on MSNBC, Melissa Harris Perry has a show. She had Allison Hobbs on, who literally wrote the book on racial passing, and she asked the question,
"Is it possible that she might actually be black?" And the best way that I know how to describe this, and I want to be very careful here, because I don't want to say that it is equivalent to the transgender experience, but there is a useful language in trans and cis, which is just to say some of us are born cisgendered, some of us are born transgendered, but
I wonder, can it be that one would be cis black and trans black? That there is actually a different category of blackness that is about the achievement of blackness despite one's parentage. Is that possible?
It's absolutely possible. I mean, why not? I mean, I think...
That's the woman who wrote on racial passing. Why not? Why not? By the way, I'm passing a desist on the term cis. Let's just go with normal. Let's just go with normal.
Well, I don't agree with that, but I don't actually use the word cis either.
And listen, trans people, there's nothing wrong with trans people, but they occupy far under 1% of the population. Therefore, by definition, it is not the norm. It just isn't, and there's nothing wrong with that.
I just don't see what the problem is. Is like, if you grew up black, or you grew up Asian, or you grew up whatever, if that's the culture that you're used to, that's the culture you want to defend, and that's the culture that you identify with, go ahead. But I don't think that you need to lie about your actual skin color.
And I'm telling you, if she wanted to do the things that she's done, she could not.
Well,
have done
yeah,
them
this is probably the real world shit that
as
you're talking
a
about.
White
that's,
woman.
Yeah, and I think we're fine.
Working our way around to what might have been behind it.
And Tim Wise,
well, he's a fucking heterosexual white male, like,
right?
The devil,
right? But
of course, so he has more of a say. I agree with you.
Yeah, he would.
I agree with you, but
he has to do. He does what he does in a way that he gets accepted, but he couldn't do it as a woman.
Mm-mm.
No, not for a very long time. But the thing I don't agree with that really, really ticked me off about this was that the fact that she was like, he can't speak on it because, you know, as a white
like
male.
I said, that was really black
see,
of her.
See, I read that a lot, like, when this first came out, too. Yeah. So that's what, like, that jaded everything. If everything passed that, I was like.
That was very black of her. And she was passing as a black woman. that was really black of her.
The other Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, has sort of weighed in. He is now claiming that he is 5'8" tall. Because he identifies as a 5'8" tall man. To which I say, welcome, Kareem. Welcome
to
the club.
According to the doctor, mate.
Well, no, that's according to the woman who brings me to the room, who can't run the thing.
Hey, he fought Bruce Lee.
He did.
He was about that size.
Absolutely. Bruce Lee, yeah, 5'7", 5'6", 5'7". And finally, one last word on this, because if we're going to talk about race, we need to hear from Dave Chappelle. Because Dave Chappelle... quiet for too long about a lot of things. He said he's not going to be joking about Rachel Dolezal, the NAACP leader who just resigned. He is giving a high school graduation commencement address at his alma mater in Spokane on Sunday. And when he was asked about her and that she was outed by her white parents, the comedian said blacks should go ahead and draft her. Chappelle has never shied away from racial controversy. He was referring to a segment on a television show in which a panel of judges conducted the racial draft. Tiger Woods was drafted by the white panel. The black panel was all too happy to give him away.
No, they you guys tried to claim him back afterwards. Tiger Woods?
No, we didn't.
Talking on the show. He said, the world has become ridiculous. There's a white lady posing as a black lady. There's not one thing that woman accomplished that she couldn't have done as a white woman. There's no reason. She just needed the braids. I don't know what she was doing. Later, he elaborated, saying the press doesn't realize that race is a social construct. The media's got to be real careful, he said. What they're overlooking is the emotional content of what she means. There's something very nuanced where she's highlighting the difference between personal feeling and what's a construct as far as race is concerned. I don't know what her agenda is, but there is an emotional content for black people when they see her and white people when they see her. Chappelle sounded sympathetic to her predicament and said he expects that she'll provide fodder for a lot of comedians' jokes, but he won't be jumping on the bandwagon, saying, I'm sure her rebuttal will be illuminating, like when she has time to process it and get her wind back and get her message together. As we mentioned, she has resigned from the NAACP in Spokane. She's resigned her position there. In a Facebook post, she wrote, in the eye of the current storm, I can see that the separation of family and organizational outcomes is the best interest of the NAACP. She was married to an African American and was raised with four adopted African American siblings. She is also a professor of Africana Studies at Eastern Washington University. So, quite a few different viewpoints on the whole thing.
See, Dave said what I said,
but I think the most important thing in it all.
He also said what I said too. Like,
here's the most important thing in the grand scheme of things. It really doesn't fucking matter.
Exactly,
because. Really? When was the last time you thought about Spokane and were like, you know, I really need to know who the president of the Spokane chapter of the NAACP is.
And how are you going to be mad at her about being the president, being white and being the president of an association that was created by white people for black people?
Well, it still says colored people on the end. It's the only place where you can say colored people and be okay. Well, and a stage.
I think it's a big conspiracy theory, to be honest with you. Everything, the timing with all of this, the parents took how long to come out with this information, the timing of everything is just bad.
And actually, the parents said they didn't come out with the information until they were asked about it.
Oh, because it took that fucking long?
Somebody asked them about it. So you had to ask the question of who asked and why that person was asking.
Exactly. I think this whole thing is, everything about this is conspiracy something. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But this smells really sketch. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know, but that was a fun half hour, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
that's the best back and forth we've had in quite some time. Everybody all fired up. That's some good stuff. I promise on the next show we're going to go a little bit lighter. No pun intended.
Oh, you today. You, Orange is the New Black. He is full of a lot of good things today that involve color.
So, well, I'll be in Vermont next week. So, keep shopping Amazon through that Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. We do appreciate it, and it does not cost you anything extra. We will see a new Well Hung podcast on Monday. New Nate Darling shows next week, even though I'm on vacation. The week after that, there'll be Vermont stories. Ooh, Vermont stories. How exciting. Get ready for that.
You better have caught the criminals.
We'll wrap it up with Fountains of Wayne. This is Sink to the Bottom on the Nate Darling Show. We'll be right back.